Morning, Mito Church family. I'm thankful to be with you today, and I've been asked to talk about the Spirit-empowered church. Now, next week, you'll be talking about Spirit-formed disciples. So I'm thankful that I can share with you this morning about the Spirit-empowered church, because that's the place where Spirit-formed disciples thrive and grow. Our passage this morning is Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And since I'm recording this a week before you're hearing it, I'll trust that you've read this passage together. But as we begin today, I want to point out rather quickly three important ideas that this passage says about a Spirit-empowered church. First, a Spirit-empowered church is marked by unity. You can see in the verses that it is a place where members practice humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other. And why is that? Because in our daily lives, we don't encounter those things. We tend to be selfish and self-centered. We sometimes are insensitive to each other. And we're worried about our own position in ego, and that can create disharmony. But when we live by the Spirit, we manifest the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And living by the fruits of the Spirit creates the space and place for unity to thrive. So a Spirit-empowered church is marked by unity. Second, a Spirit-empowered church is a place where the grace you have been given according to Jesus' gift allows each other's gifting to be welcomed and shared to build up the body of Christ. You see, God has uniquely gifted each one of us because of His lavish love and grace for us. You see, God has blessed us so that we can bless others. The gifts you have received are not for your own benefit. It is for the benefit of others. And a Spirit-empowered church receives, welcomes, and shares the gifts in the body of Christ. And third, what we can see from the Ephesians passage is that a Spirit-empowered church is a place where God's people mature. Ephesians 4 says that we've been given the gifts so that we may mature to the measure of the full stature in Christ. We're no longer children, but we grow up in every way. And for what purpose? To build and grow in love. So before we leave this passage, let's make sure that we capture the ideas that a Spirit-empowered church, as we see it in Ephesians, is a place where you grow in unity, a place where the gifts you have been given are received, shared, and welcomed so that the body of Christ grows and develops in love. Being a Spirit-empowered church means God's Spirit is present. And one of the visions we have for a church like that is found in Acts chapter 2, which is known as the Day of Pentecost. You see, on Pentecost, God's Spirit came to His people in power, a power that's hard for us to even imagine. Now, I know that the last 2 years have been incredibly difficult and challenging for churches and Christians and people all over the world. And during those times of challenge, it's easy for us to become burdened and discouraged. And perhaps it's even possible that some of us feel separated from God. We wonder if He's near and maybe even question His love. So feeling empowered by God's Spirit can seem far away. Well, it's during these seasons in life that it's helpful for us to be reminded that we serve a powerful God that wants to bless us and many others. You see, God wants to use His people, a Spirit-empowered people, to share His love and goodness with others. We don't have time to read Acts 2, 1 through 12 today, but let me share with you what happens in this passage. See, after Jesus' death, His disciples come together in Jerusalem. And there is a blowing, violent wind that fills the house, and tongues of fire come and rest on each apostle. And they begin to speak in tongues and in other languages. And so a crowd begins to gather to hear the message of God's wonders in their own language. And when this happened, people were amazed. But they weren't only amazed, they were also confused. People didn't understand what was happening. In fact, verse 13 tells us that people started to mock them. And some people thought they were drunk. You know, sometimes people are confused when God is moving amongst them. While Peter explains what is happening was prophesied by the prophet Joel and shares the gospel message of Jesus in verses 14 through 36. In verse 36, Peter says, Jesus is both Savior and Lord. Now let's just pause here for a minute. If we are to be a Spirit-empowered church where unity, gifts, and maturity happen, we must be a community that declares Jesus as both Savior and Lord. See, sometimes we celebrate Jesus as our Savior, but we forget that He's also our Lord. See, we want Jesus to save us from our sins, from the cares and worries of this world. But verse 36 of Peter tells us that God made Jesus Savior and Lord. And when Peter shares the gospel message, what happens? Well, verse 37, people are convicted and ask, what shall we do? And the answer comes in verse 38, repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ, receive forgiveness, and receive the Holy Spirit. And then listen to the promise in verse 39. This is for you, your children, and all who are far off, future generations. And on that day, 3,000 were added to God's family. When I read what happened at Pentecost in Jerusalem, I think, now that was a Spirit-empowered church. I mean, how many of us would love to experience Pentecost today? I mean, we would see God's power made evident among us. God's Spirit empowering us. Crowds gathering to hear the gospel message. People convicted of their sin, repenting, being baptized, receiving forgiveness, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And people would be added to God's church, the body of Christ. Want Pentecost. We want Pentecost. We want Acts 2. I mean, we want God's power in our relationships, in our marriages, for our children, in our churches and cities and nations. That would be magnificent. But let's remember, before there is Acts 2, there is Acts chapter 1. Because I think Acts 1 has some important guidance for those of us who want to be a Spirit-empowered church. See, at the beginning of Acts 1, the author Luke shares that after Jesus dies and is risen, He appears to His closest friends over a period of 40 days before He is raised into heaven. And there are two things that I want us to notice that can be helpful to us in our desire to be a Spirit-empowered church. First, if we want Pentecost, if we want Acts 2, we must be obedient. To help His people prepare for Pentecost, Jesus instructs them not to leave Jerusalem and to wait there for the promise of the Father. Well, where did Pentecost happen? It happened in Jerusalem. See, even though the disciples may have wanted to move out from Jerusalem, Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem, and they stayed. You see, obedience is the precursor of God's power and blessings being released in our lives and churches. And the second thing I want us to see is that Pentecost happens in community. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. See what happens? He says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, sons and daughters. Young will see visions. Old will dream dreams. He will pour out his Spirit on both men and women. So the vision we have in this passage is that community is gathered, God's Spirit moves amongst them, and others are blessed. And what happens? Well, Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47. Awe came upon everyone, because so many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the needs to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. See here, God's Spirit empowers his people to bless others, and more people are drawn to God. This morning, Mito Church, let me close with this blessing for you. May God bless you as he moves in power amongst you, so that you, Mito Church, are a place where you grow in unity, a place where the gifts you have been given are received, shared, and welcomed, so that the body of Christ grows and develops in love. God bless you. Thank you.
With your passion once again, I want to care for others. Like Jesus cares for me, let your grace.